Hello, everyone.
All right.
My name is Corey Roth, and I came here from Dallas, Texas, to talk to you about Search and SharePoint 2013 today. I want to thank you for sticking around. I know it's the last day of the conference, so I hope to have an action-packed session for you, for all you developers out there. So let's get into what we're talking about. So we're going to understand how we can extend search in a few different ways. A lot of these ways are really powerful, but a lot of people, when I find I'm talking to developers, they really don't know about them. So we're going to talk about the basics of content enrichment. This allows us to make our search results better, given information from an external source. So we're going to walk through how that works. We're going to talk about custom index connectors and the scenarios where you might want to use one of these. We're going to cover this lightly because it's pretty complicated. And then we're going to talk about custom entity extraction, probably one of the most powerful features in Search and SharePoint that nobody knows about. So let's look at kind of the state of search between on-premises and online. Previously, SharePoint Online, before the 2013 era, it was pretty limited to what you could do in search. You really couldn't configure it. It just kind of worked. Now we added things like result sources and display templates, things that let us change the way search results look. We added result types, allows us to customize when to show which display template for special results. That's how you see a different look and feel for an Excel result versus a video result, for example. Then we have things called query rules that allow us to do all sorts of fun customizability with SharePoint Search. But then SharePoint Online got Delve, and on-premises got nothing. Well, actually, it got the Content Enrichment Web Service, which we're going to be using today, and it got Custom Entity Extraction. So you can see the list of search features now varies a little bit now, right? So we're going to dive into those. So what you may have figured out, this talk is 100% on-premises. In fact, you found the only session that covers SharePoint 2013 on-premises at the conference, so congratulations, all of you. So, it's a fun talk, though. I actually had to lug a virtual machine over, had to bring out the old laptop, you know, that I hadn't been using in years, so I got some fun out of it. So we're going to have fun today. We're going to look at all sorts of code and how you can make better search results for your users when you take it back home. Okay, so this is just a brief architecture slide. You've probably even seen this at various conferences and things like that. This just kind of tells us where we could extend search in various places. And, oops, went too far. What we have is various extensibility points, and what we're going to do is we're going to affect things today when we're indexing and kind of when we're processing. So what we're going to take what comes into search, we're going to transform it and make it better and provide additional data. And what we're going to do with that first is with the Content Enrichment Web Service. Who here has actually heard of this before today? All right, a fair amount of you. Anyone actually have it in place yet? Okay, not very many. Okay. So this is a great feature. I love it. It's really powerful. Anyone still using Fast Search for SharePoint like in 2010 and did pipeline extensibility? So this is the replacement for that. So what it does, it modifies the properties after you're crawling an item. So what it is, it's a custom web service. You've noticed this kind of model where all the code we do with SharePoint is getting pushed outside of it, right? That's the way we want to do it now, right? And this is no exception. So this is a custom web service. You sit it outside of SharePoint. And what it does is it takes in managed properties and returns different ones. So what this is good for, think of a database lookup where you go get additional data. And we're actually going to walk through a sample of that today. What it does is it executes during the content processing phase. So to put it more simply, we have input properties, then we have your custom code, and then we have output properties. It's as simple as that. So why do we want to do this to begin with? Well, It's good to get external data into SharePoint. So say you tag something with an ID. Well, that ID is actually associated with a bunch of other data in your line of business system that might also be useful on that item. That's where it really takes off and shines. So it's also good to validate or clean up data. So if users are entering data manually on fields for some reason, or you're having data come in from their sources, this is your opportunity to clean up the data that's getting into your search index. So this happens, and it gets stored in it with the item, so you're good to go when users do that query, and then you can refine on it and tag it and display it and query on it, whatever you want to do. So how are we going to do this? Well, first, we need a WCF application service application project. Of course, you could build this in other platforms as well, but we're going to do it, of course, on the Microsoft stack. And we add a reference to microsoft.office.server.search.contentprocessingenrichment.dll. Can you remember that? So we add this reference, and all this does is it gives us an interface that we can now implement, and we write things to it, and Search knows how to talk to that. So then we implement iContent Processing Enrichment Service. This is the interface we were talking about. And then we implement this method called processItem. And this is the chance where you get to put your custom code to go do that database lookup or go do whatever you want to add that additional data into your search index. Then we return the output managed properties. And there's a particular type to use to make that work. And then we just need to register it with PowerShell. Register it with PowerShell, there is a new command, new SP Enterprise Search Content Enrichment. We specify what the input and output properties that we're going to be passing to the web service. So maybe I'm taking an author field or an ID field or something like that, and I'm going to return a new title field or a new some other custom field. It can be your own managed properties, or it can be existing ones as well. But they do have to be pre-created. We can also optionally specify a trigger. Now, this is important. The trigger basically says, only execute for this type of data. So if you have 10 million items in your index, and this particular enrichment you're building only applies to, you know, 1,000 of them, you don't want to have it calling out that web service every time, because this is what it's going to do. It's going to call that web service for every item it touches. So you got to be thinking about performance, and this can affect crawl time on big indexes, so keep that in mind. Then we save the values with set SP Enterprise Search Enrichment Configuration. The PowerShell syntax for this is kind of different from other PowerShell commands you might be used to, so I'm going to actually show you what the script looks like. And when you walk out of here, you'll also have a reference to my blog where I have the full code for this sample there. It's also on code.msdn. that you can get and take with you. So you can have a working demo to start with. So just a quick overview, and this is just more for your reference when you're coming back through this, of some of the configuration object properties. The endpoint is the actual URL to your WCF service. The input properties and output properties are just those managed properties we're talking about, the properties that come in, and then the properties that you're going to return. And then there's some other things like send raw data. That's if you actually want the file itself. For some reason, you want to grab the whole file stream of that document or something like that and actually send it to search. You can tell it to do so. Of course, that's more data you're passing. By default, it's not going to send it. You can also specify the maximum data size. If I remember right, the maximum size by default is 8 kilobytes. So it's good to specify it. And then lastly, there's a timeout. And the timeout by default is 5 seconds or 5,000 milliseconds. When you're debugging, you're going to want to change this to a higher value, because by the time you hit your breakpoint or whatever and start stepping through it, it's going to assume that the search service did not return, and it's going to time out, right? So you definitely want to increase this value when you're debugging and give yourself time to actually step through your code. And you can set it pretty high. So here's what that code looks like to register the PowerShell in PowerShell for the content enrichment. First, we got to get our search service application, so I assigned that to the SSA variable, and then we do the new SP Enterprise Search Content Enrichment configuration, And we specify the endpoint. And then in this case, I'm taking in the author and the last modified time. And I'm returning an output property called test property. Send raw data again is how I say, hey, I want the whole document to come in with me. Then the last thing you specify is the trigger. So in this case, I'm only executing it when the content type is a document. So for documents, so it's not going to execute for list items or sites or anything like that. And after we create this configuration object, that's when we actually call set SP Enterprise Search Content Enrichment Search Configuration. And that's what actually stores it. So what we're going to do next is we're going to go through a use case in the oil and gas industry, because I'm from Texas and we have a lot of that there. And what we're going to do is I have a list of external well data that has a unique ID. You know, think of a database, and you know, there's an ID, and then there's columns that have other relevant data. In this case, it's like location data, like the address, the county, the state, the GPS coordinates, things like that. And so I want my documents to be associated with all that other data so I can search by county and state and things like that. So we're going to do that. We're going to return the data via web service, and we're going to return these managed properties. And then I'm going to use display templates to add this data to the search results so the user can see all that associated data. We're also going to use this in refiners to give our users a nice custom application and search on fields that they've never been able to search for before. So let's get to that. So right now what we're looking at is just SQL data. The data actually isn't important, but it's got things like this API number. This is my unique key, right? So I'm going to do some things with that. And it's got information such as the lease and the operator. This is actually the company that executes this particular well. And then things like county and state and things like that. So I want to bring this data into search on documents. But I don't want the users to have to key all that data in manually, right? That would be a total pain, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to just key the API number and look up the rest of this data and bring it in. So let me show you my document library. And here you can see I have a list of documents. And over here is my API number. And this is our unique key. And so what I want to show you, though, is that there is no additional metadata on one of these documents. So we'll give that a second to load. All it has is title and API number. But by the time we're done, we're going to be able to search on county and field and state and things like that. So let's go ahead and look at how we're going to do that. And so what I have is this lease is what I'm calling this as a managed property. So I'm going to go over to my Visual Studio here. And again, I did the same thing. I just used Entity Framework to build a data model for that table, right? Really simple. And then I'm just going to issue a simple link query to query into it and get that data back based on the ID. So let me show you what that looks like. Going to the top. So first, I registered the content processing enrichment service. So we need that, and we need the content processing enrichment services.properties. And my class here implements iContentProcessingEnrichmentService. This is the one I mentioned on the slides. And then our one item we have to implement is process item. So item properties is what we're going to be working with. And so we'll get this item. And so this method will get called once for every item in the search index that matches. Remember, we have that trigger, though, that prevents it from executing the service if you need to do a subset and only have a subset called a service. So the first thing we do is we initialize the error code to zero. When we change the error code, that just tells search there's a problem. And we clear whatever's currently in the object. Then all I'm doing is, you know, I'm using my entity framework, and I'm taking that API number that I came in. And the way I get that is item.itemProperties. And I'm just using, again, another Lambda expression, first or default. And this is the managed property that it comes in. So I have API number, the document library, right? Well, search automatically generates for this column that field API number OWS text as a managed property. So I'm going to query against that. And then if it has a value, I convert it to a string property. And then I actually do the query, right? So here's my well data, first to default, and I'm just comparing API number. That's the number in the database, right, against whatever the user keyed in. Now, by doing that, I get my data and the well data object, and then I need to create these field properties, and we have to type them accordingly so it matches, you know, whatever the managed properties are in search. So in this case, I have new properties called field, county, lease, operator. So all this data that was originally in the database, right? You know, there's my field name, there's my lease, operator. See how we're kind of going to be using those? And so I get all these various properties, and we put them in this processed item holder dot item properties object. And when it's all done, we send it back. So that gets called for every item in the index that matches that trigger expression. And we'll get to use it in search. So let me show you. So in the PowerShell real quick, we're going to do get SP enterprise search content enrichment configuration. I'm just going to use tab to complete that. And we need to pass my search application. And mine's just called search service application. And what it does is it shows you what's currently registered. So there's my service. It's registered on that port. I'm saying, give me 30 seconds to execute this. And here's the fields I want to bring in. So there's my API OWS number text. And then the fields I'm returning are field, county, lease, operator, et cetera. Let me show you that. Again, this is just like we saw on the slides, except that's the wrong one. But again, same concept. I just opened the wrong one. To repeat the question, he asked, do I have one web service or can I have multiple? Is that basically what you're saying? Yes, you can have multiple. So you can register multiple of these and have go out to 10 different web services for 10 different types of data. And the order, is there an order to it? No, there isn't any way to control an order. So if you have multiple operations, you want to perform on the same type of data, you need to kind of plan that accordingly in your code. Good question. So let me show you what this looks like in our search results. So here I am in the search center. I've customized this slightly. And I'm going to associate this for only well documents. So this is my custom content type. So I'm going to just tell me, give me every well document in the system. And what it does is it returns all my documents. Now, remember, these are documents that did not have this extra data on them, right? I didn't have a lease or a field or a county. But now I'm actually, you know, displaying them with this custom display template. And I even have things like, you know, my depth indicator and things like that. And then I can actually filter my results by county, for example, and then I could even filter my results down even more. So giving the user the ability to filter on things that were never associated with the document. So, you know, it's hard enough to get users to enter in metadata as it is, but if you can get them to enter just this one column, look at all the things they can now do in their search results, right? You know, we even have a depth indicator, and like it'll, you know, we can actually, you know, customize that with the nice visual slider because it's a number, right? So is that something you all find interesting and useful for your organization? Some of you? Yeah. You know, you can very well do this for any kind of, you know, products or, you know, locations or anything that's important to you, right? Yes. One question. The Question is the BCS model do the trick as well? Absolutely. You can definitely go through BCS. The benefit when you do stuff with BCS is it actually gets associated with the item. So there's use cases for both, right? Okay, so let's move on and show you some more search technology. So I mentioned triggers real quick just so you know how you can use them. For example, there's all sorts of .NET type expressions for working with strings and triggers. So there's contains, is null or empty, things like that. I put this link here because it has a whole list of them, and the syntax is there's a lot to it. So you definitely can limit this to call only the web services you want, only for the particular type of content. There's lots of things built in there for you to use it. A couple of tips for working with content-enriched web services. The property names are case-sensitive, so if you don't have it match exactly what's in your managed properties page, it will not work. And it won't work with aliases. So, for example, there's things like write, last, modified, time, and things like that. You have to actually specify the correct managed property and not an alias for it, because there's a lot of aliases built into terms, so be careful of that. Definitely work with small data sets. You know, if you put this on millions of items, your index time is obviously going to increase. And make sure you create those managed properties beforehand. And watch out for read-only properties. A lot of the built-in ones are read-only. You can run a PowerShell command if you're really curious to see if it's read-only or not, but you'll get an exception if you try to write back into it. And as I mentioned earlier, increase that timeout when debugging. There's also a open source type of toolkit out there on, I think it's CodePlex or CodeMSDN, one of the two. And this actually works, has some stuff for FAST for SharePoint as well. So if you're still using that, you can kind of take advantage of this framework as well. It's available now. They announced it back during SPC, and it's a nice toolkit to get going as well. Again, my code samples will be available at the end of these slides as well. So let's move on to custom connectors. Yeah, I'll take one question quickly. So I want to make sure we get through everything.
That obviously ran at the time your document was indexed.
Yes.
Is there a way of forcing it to be rerun without completely reindexing the document if, for example, the data in your database changed?
So no, there's no way to push change from the database back in unless you just pick it up. So unfortunately, the question is, can you have a change in the database push and update? Like FAST for SharePoint kind of had that concept. You could actually push items into the index. But this is not there, unfortunately. Of course, you can always recrawl and you know have it run. It's especially if you're using continuous crawl and you're doing documents anyway, you know your content index is going to be pretty up to date. So let's talk about custom connectors. So this is similar to the concept of a protocol handler from years ago. This kind of came in around 2010 and leverages BCS technology. What's nice is if you need to have some highly customized search against some custom line of business system, maybe you have an AS400 still sitting around that you want to pull data into search for some reason, you know, this is how you can do it, right? It supports security trimming and all that, so it's you can customize every step of what comes into your system with this technology. And it basically has this framework, and it goes through the BCS, and the BCS calls out and execute your code. And it's a managed code. It's not external. It actually installs as an assembly. And how you do it is you create just a new simple class library. That's all it is. And then you make a couple of references, one to your business data stuff, so microsoft.businessdata, and the other to microsoft.office.search.server.connector.dll. And there's basically a number of classes you have to implement, about four or five. First is the connector class itself. It implements Finder and specific Finder methods. So if you've ever worked with BCS to get data out of SQL, you probably are somewhat familiar with these. This stuff's been around since like 2007, right? It's very similar. The schema builds on top of that. Then there's the system utility type, where you implement this particular iSystem utility. And the input URI and output URI processor is basically what you're doing is you're converting a BCS URL schema to a search URL schema and back and forth. And so you have to have this basically translator set of classes that converts this BCS syntax. And if you've ever indexed BCS before, you might see this funky BDC protocol thing that looks, you know, completely unusable to humans. But basically what you're doing is you're translating that to some kind of usable URL that your users can, you know, click on in the search results. Lastly, this model XML file is where you actually define all these schemas and tell it which class to call and all that. So the installation process is a little bit involved. You have to add the assembly to the GAC. So already, you know, if you're familiar with all the new app model, you're like, what? This is, you know, definitely going to lock you in on-premises for the rest of your life. You copy this model file to a file share, and it's got to be on a file share. It has to be on a UNC path. It will not take it otherwise. And then we use this particular PowerShell command, new SB enterprise search crawl custom connector. And then you actually have to go edit the registry, right? So, and then you restart the search service. So you can see every time you want to register these things, it's going to take you a little bit of time, even if you kind of automate some of this, right? And of course, once it's done, you have to do a full crawl to get everything in. So I'm going to show you what some of the code looks like, and I'll show you what these search results look like. And what we're doing is I'm actually using a demo of a custom file share connector, because the file share, apparently, you know, you think you can write a better file share connector than, you know, Microsoft can, so now you can write your own and extend it, right? So this is basically what this scenario is. And so it will pull files off the file share, it does security trimming, reads the ACLs, does all that, and puts it in the search, and it works just like the file share connector essentially does that's built into SharePoint. So let's take a look. So first, I'm going to switch to our demo machine. And we'll look at what some of these look like. So first, we're going to grab our PowerShell command here. I'll show you what that looks like first. Nope, I don't think it's in this folder, is it? Yeah, we'll just do it this way. So we'll go to the code, show you what this looks like. So we'll go first is the myfilemodel.xml. It will open for us. There we go. Okay, so what this XML thing, again, it's a BCS schema, and it's saying call myassembly.myfileconnector for the particular type. So this defines the actual type of kind of data that you have on the individual item that you're pulling in. The next one is the lob URI. Again, this is your translator, so this is the translator coming in, and then the myfile naming container is the translator coming out. And, you know, naming is kind of confusing on these, but that's how it works. So that's our input URI processor and our output URI processor. Once you get into the file itself, and I won't spend too much more time in here because XML is not finding, you'll find methods to get the folders in your file shares, and you'll find methods to get the files in your file shares, and then it passes in the parameters to each one. So what I'll show you here is on our MyFile class next, we have a class definition for files and folders. And so it just has simple metadata that we're going to bring into search. And you can bring in extra metadata, like if you had other things you wanted to include, right? They'll become managed properties ultimately. So I have a name, a path, and ultimately, you know, I have a security descriptor, which actually has the ACLs on the file share itself. We're reading them off and then passing into SharePoint so it actually gets security trimmed. Then we go down to like get folders, for example. And all it's using is simple, you know, system.io commands to read what's in there, get the security descriptor and add it, and then it goes and, you know, indexes the files next. So the other two files are the translators. I won't go through them because they're overly complicated. You don't really need to care about them too much. What I'll show you next is my file share. So here's my file share. These are the documents I want to index. And if we look here, this is where we put the model file, the XML file. And so when I register it with PowerShell, this is where it actually looks for it. Register custom connector is the file I have this all in. And I'm just going to zoom in on that. So I'm passing it to Search Service Application. Then the protocol is my file. So this is actually what I type into my content source. And then I pass it the model file by the path, again, using the full UNC path. Let me show you what this actually looks like in search. So I'm going to refresh this here. And I'm going to use my content source command, because I registered a content source, and I'll get to you in just a second. And I named it my file. And so what I did is I said, give me everything on that file share. And now you see here are all my documents. And when I click on them, they should open. As you see down there, it's prompting me to open. I don't have the Excel client on my machine, but they get you the idea. And it even pulled in that, you know, model file, because I told it to, you know, not exclude anything. So this allows you to completely customize the entire process. Now, I'm not spending a lot of time on this for a reason. Because who should really use this? No one. But I want to show you that it's there, because it's extremely complicated. The only people that typically implement these are ISVs. You know, people like BA Insight and things like that, right? And there's various other people that index things for custom systems, right? But, you know, it's not cloud-focused, and this is not something you'll ever probably be able to do in Office 365 if you're planning on going there. But if you do have a real need and you need to connect to an AS400 or some custom system that, you know, has no suitable APIs and you want to write some code for it, this is definitely a good option for you. So I will tell you, again, I mentioned it's complicated, but there is more. There's actually a search indexing toolkit that's been coming soon. It's been coming soon, at least since SBC 14. It's produced by some things internally at Microsoft. If you want to read more on this particular toolkit and how to dive deep into it, I encourage you to go check out the video there, and they will walk you through the use of how to kind of automate some of this complex processing for you. So it has full examples of it. So that's, again, coming soon, and you might be able to see it through MCS as well. It's been known that you can leverage them to take advantage of that, if that suits you. So the next particular piece I want to talk about is custom entity extraction. And this is one of my favorite features that's in search. And again, no one really knows about it. Anybody heard of custom entity extraction before coming in here today? Yeah, no one pretty much. So it's a very cool feature. So what is it? Well, it allows us to add refiners to content with content that doesn't have any metadata on it. So what do I mean by that? Picture a file share or just a document library that you got out of the box, right? And a bunch of files have been thrown into it, right, over the years. And, you know, people are always complaining about search results being bad, right, and things like that, right, you know. This is a solution to get slightly better search results for your end users. So what you do, this works well for content that's associated with a well-known dictionary of items. So say at your company you have a list of products, or you have a list of locations, or a list of wells, or whatever that's important to you, list of assets, right? Well, you can seed search with this data and say, hey, look for this kind of content in the body of these documents. And what that allows you then to do is when the user types in that search result, now they can refine on these categories or these preset bodies of content without ever having tagged the document to begin with. So fast for SharePoint had this as well in SharePoint 2010, but this is a lot more flexible now, because back then it was very case sensitive, and so you had to have exact matches on everything. So now we have a lot more flexibility. So basically what we do is we have a dictionary of items, and this is just a CSV file. We give it to the index, we register it with PowerShell, and it produces refiners. There's a fixed number of them that we can use, but there's a lot of flexibility to meet most of your needs. So it works well. You know, I kind of gave you some examples either, but, you know, product names, departments, business units, vendors, wells, assets, you know, anything that is in your organization that you are well-known and fixed, you know. Now, it can change. You just have to re-register the content when it changes. So you might create, you know, an automated script to update that CSV file and reload it with SharePoint. What's it look like? Well, it has a simple key comma display form. So key is used to match up multiple terms and group them together. As you see in some of these examples for like Azure, I think there's some examples where they actually, so maybe you have an abbreviation of a word and then you spell out the full word and then you want to display it, is how it's on the right side. So the right side of the comma is how it's actually displayed in your search refiner. So we build these files. And then we register them with SharePoint, and then we'll be able to use them in our search results. So why is it important, right? You know, who here has issues with search in your organization? Who here has users complain daily, you know? It's a common thing we're all fighting. Now, a lot of organizations, you know, don't have any metadata on their documents, right? I'm willing to bet that most of you have tons of document libraries with nothing else than just the title. You know, you're using the default content type, right? Now, people are getting better about it because people like me have been standing up here and telling you for years, hey, go put some classification on your documents, right? But it's really common to have lots of documents, especially if you bring something in from a file share, right? What's great is this even works against file shares. So you can actually classify content on file share where you have no metadata, right? It's pretty easy to set up. So to get started, this is where we actually set up our different types of extractors. And Microsoft gives you 12 custom entity extractors that you can use out of the box. And basically, you define them and map them to your own things. And so they have these names over here, Word Custom Refiner, Word Custom Refiner 2, things like that. And there's the ability to do exact matches and partial matches. And so you might want to match the entire word, or you might only want to match part of the word, depending on what you're doing, right? Because it's just scanning through the body of these documents looking for words. So depending on what your use case is, depends on which refiner you use. Often I find I use the word part extraction probably the most, and you have five of them, so it gives you a number you can have. But if you need more than five, you have to get creative and try to use one of the other particular refiners. So how does it work? We create the dictionary, we register it with PowerShell, then we do a crawl. Then, after the dictionary is created, we have to map our properties over. And then we got to crawl again. And then we need to configure the refiner. So what do these names look like? Well, when you're registering it with PowerShell, there's this long name that matches those things. Again, on our previous slide where we had that table, matches it. And so we have this thing called Microsoft.UserDictionaries.entityExtractionWord, et cetera, right? And that maps over. So that's how we tell PowerShell what that looks like. Again, this also uses the full UNC path as well. So here's our PowerShell command. We get our service application. And then we use import SP Enterprise Search Custom Extraction Dictionary. We pass it the search app. Then we pass it the path to our CSV file. And then we use that dictionary name on the last slide, right? So Microsoft, the user dictionaries, et cetera. So we figure out which one we want, and we put it on that slide at the end. So in this case, I'm doing wordpart.1. And I'll show you what that looks like in our demo here. So in this particular demo, I have a set of documents. I actually downloaded all the slide decks from SharePoint Conference. And of course, I don't have any, you know, metadata on these documents, right? Again, just like we saw before, if we look at the properties of one of these documents, you know, I don't have anything on it that we can really customize. Or, you know, all it is just the title. That's all I have to work off of. But, you know, on the SharePoint Online site, on the Channel 9 site, and if you've ever watched any of the previous videos earlier this year, it's a great, great way to get some great reference material available to you for free. You notice there's this concept of a tag, and there's like a concept of a speaker, and they could refine that, right? So I'd like to be able to refine on tag and speaker as well. So I just need to create the right dictionaries to make this happen. So what we're going to do is I'm going to show you what my input files kind of look like. So for example, I have things like cloud and community and social and Azure and BCS. These are all like the kind of categories, right? You know, things are pieces of SharePoint that we deal with, right? So I want to be able to filter on that in my search results. And I have another input file for speakers. Same speakers that some of them are actually here at this conference this week, right? So I want to be able to, you know, filter on those. And so I load them in these CSV files. Now we're going to jump over to PowerShell. Oops. And I'm going to open this file, import. And I'm going to show you how we used this command. So we import SP Enterprise Search Custom Dictionary. Again, I have to specify the path you're using the UNC. And then we specify the dictionary file that we want to use. So in this case, I'm using customword.1 and customword.2. It means they're going to match exactly in the content as opposed to doing a partial word match. And so when it finds any of these words, like the speaker's name or the category or the type of content they're working with, we'll then be able to tag it in the content from those PowerPoints. So what I'll show you now is we're going to jump over to my search schema. I think central administration's loaded up for me, so I'm just going to go over to my search service application. And this is where we register and say, okay, search, when you find any of these tags in the body, map it to this particular refiner. So we're going to bring up the search service application, and then we're going to look at the schema over here on the side here. So I'm going to click on search schema. All something you've probably done before if you've ever customized any properties. And what I'm looking for is body. So I'm going to edit the body. This is something you can actually edit. It's an out-of-the-box one. But if we scroll down, maybe you've seen this before, even if you've been editing a managed property. But if we go down, you'll see that I have word extraction custom 1 checked and word extraction custom 2 checked. So that maps over to what I had in my PowerShell file, right? Oops, wrong file. So word.1, word.2. So that's how that maps. So that maps my CSV file to the particular refiners. So now let's go over to our search center and see this actually in use. So I'm going to query for SharePoint. Now, obviously, that should probably bring up just about every slide deck I have. And as you see over on the side, I now have two custom refiners. I'll show you how we got those there. You see now I can, click on Kirk Evans, and it'll only show me the things that were mentioned by Kirk Evans, and I can continue to refine as well. Now, you notice there's a lot of things there, and if you look at the actual titles, you can see the title here. So that one was actually written by Dan Holm. So Dan Holm wasn't an author of that document, right? He wasn't the one who did that presentation, right? He was just mentioned in that presentation. So his particular sessions were down below in the titles you see here. But so what it means is, does it give you refinement? Is it the actual author? Is it as good as tagging it and saying Kirk Evans wrote that when they uploaded it? No. But is it better than nothing? Yeah, probably right. I mean, it might be valid that you see a slide deck that mentions Kirk as opposed to just having no clue, right? So it does add value. It's not as perfect as, you know, doing custom tagging and tagging each field by one, but when you have no tagging whatsoever, this is a lot better than what you had before, right? Pretty cool, right? So let me show you what this looks like we're going to edit this particular web part. So I'm just going to edit the page. And then we'll come over to our refinement panel and click edit web part. And all I've done is I've added my own, you know, kind of custom refiners. And so we'll click on, choose refiners over here on the right. And what I've done, if you look through this list, you'll see way at the bottom all our custom refiners. So they're already built there waiting for you. You just have to map things to them to make them work. So Word Custom Refiner 3, example, then the Word Part refiners are down below. And so you can add them as you use them. So I've added 1 and 2. And of course, I haven't changed anything on it like the display name, but I could actually change this to speaker, you know, if I wanted. And I could change this one to tag. And you see right there, it's giving you a visual refinement up above. Obviously, like sample values, SharePoint obviously has the most hits because, well, everything has the word SharePoint in it in these particular set of content. But then you start seeing, you know, more and more refinement. And of course, you can also configure how it is sorted as well if that's a priority for you. And then you can click the preview refiners button and actually preview these live. So let me show you this other refiner and then I will answer your question. Let's say okay. And I'm going to save this page and we're actually going to look at this other refiner briefly. So over here we have some content like, okay, I want just Office 365 content, so I can click on that. And then, you know, you can, of course, you know, maybe I want apps as well. And it will continue to refine down the results. So if you have a big file share and a bunch of unstructured content, do you think this could be something that's useful in your organization? All right, I know there's a couple questions, so we can go and get to them. Can you implement custom? I didn't hear the last. The answer is, can you implement like your own custom entity extraction that goes out and reaches a class name and does some code or something like that? Unfortunately, no. So maybe the approach that you would want is actually maybe the content enrichment approach instead. If you have some custom logic you want to apply, you could definitely do it that way as well. When you do it that way, the nice thing is you can also use these data with content enrichment. You can use it besides just on refiners, right? You can actually use it in a manner where you display it in the search results and things like that. Was there any other questions before we move on? Okay. So I think this is a great way to get more value out of what you can do in search. It really, when you have no refinement whatsoever, you know, it's tough. And I've set this up, especially as users are in the process of migrating off file shares and things like that. This works great. You know, if you can recognize a department name or a vendor name or a contract and you can give this to them, you know, their file shares don't have that now, right? So they can't search on them and do anything like that, right? So this is a great way to get people kind of excited about, you know, refinement. Now, is this as good as actually tagging the content? No, absolutely not, right? Because you're going to get false positives, so to speak, right? You know.
So.
Three keywords, so I'm trying to understand your question.
Probably the same, I guess the same word is different ways to express it, but for the user, ultimately, the refining would be just the same.
Right, right. I don't know if I'm fully understanding your question. So you're asking about multiple, multiple values there, right?
Well, that is in your content, that you want to map to a single.
Okay, yes, so. Yeah, you can actually have a execute on different properties as well, right? So if you do have some structured data, you can point the refiner just like we did in the body. and registered it with that refiner. You can do that with other properties as well, so that might be a way that you can kind of get there. Any other questions? Yes, one more. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what you're, okay. So yes, let me show you, let's go back to the CSV file real quick. And I think that will be clear, because I think I have some examples in my categories file where things kind of match up. Let's see if we can find one. I thought I had some of this particular demo, but maybe not. But for example, if I wanted to match SQL Server and I just wanted to have a single SQL Server category, I could do that, right? And that way it groups both those together. So sorry if I didn't understand your question earlier. So yeah. Or if you just want to totally change how it's shown on the list, you can do that as well. So you can map 2, 3, 10 particular values together. That way it refines them as one item. All right. Sorry I didn't quite get it when you asked it, so thanks. Any other questions before we move on? So I will show you one more thing here. You can actually issue a query with this particular managed property. So I'm going to actually type in word custom refiner one. So that's the speaker name right there, right? And I'll type in Kirk, right? It has to match completely. Did I type in? Oh, I did. Thank you. It's been a long week, guys. Okay. I totally typed word custom refiner one, Kirk. There. So I typed that in. Now you're like, oh, cool. You can actually query on this too, right? What's the issue here? Do you know? Think about how it works. All it really is doing is typing in and searching against the body. So this is actually no different than just typing in Kirk Evans. So, yes, you can query on it, but does it really give you any more value? No, not really. It's no different than just doing a free text search. But, again, you have the nice refiner. So, it's great for refinement, not necessarily great for everything else. You could modify the display template here, like we did earlier in the first example, and display the author, but it might not be the author, right? So that's the problem. So, but you're welcome to use that data besides just in refinement. Okay, so let's go back to our PowerPoint. Kind of go over some of our what we covered today. So we looked at search extensibility in a very on-premises fashion. So we talked about content enrichment and how we can take a single ID and transform it into more data by calling out to a web service and executing your own custom code. We talked about custom index connectors and how you should probably never write them unless you have a very specific use case. And then last week, we talked about custom entity extraction, where we can create refiners out of nothing. All these can be used, you know, together as well if you want. So you can have use any combination of the three, even on the same data. So if you have a use case where that makes sense, you're more than welcome to do that. Let me give you some resources to get you started. A lot of this is stuff I built myself, the first and third links it is. So the first link is how to build the content enrichment web service. This is a full working sample of taking an input property and returning a different one. The MyFile custom connector is not mine. It's actually just some Microsoft-produced content on MSDN, but a great example of a fully working example that you can use to build a custom connector. And then the last is my how to build a custom entity extraction. One of the first pieces out there on this particular topic. So it walks you through building those files. In fact, the example there were the files I used in the demo today. And so you'll be able to take this. It has all the PowerShell commands you need. Yes, so the security trimming is implemented by bringing the security by bringing the security descriptor in when it's indexing. So it'll actually read it off the file on the file system using just system.al file commands or whatever, and pass it into SharePoint search. And so it doesn't actually have to call out to a custom service because you're passing it in at index time, but you can also, like with BCS, if you've ever done custom security trimming, it works the same way. You can do that method as well. Yeah, I'll show you that line real quick. Sure. Not a problem. Let's go back to it. We'll flip back over to Visual Studio. Our MyFile connector, and I think I have it open now right now. Yes, I do. So, okay. For example, here's the folder. And we're creating a new security descriptor. And we get this command, sec.getSecurityDescriptorBinaryForm. So you have to first initialize the link to the array of the security descriptor. And so that's how it actually gets passed in on that particular thing. And that's just coming from the directory security object, right? So that's just a system.io directory, or system.security, but object. So that's just a built-in .NET class. Nothing specific to SharePoint at all, right? You know, this is all just basic, you know, .NET code. And so by grabbing that off the file system, it writes it into the search. Where does SharePoint get it? Because we pass it to it here. Oh, like when it's indexing? So when it indexes, because we push this into the security descriptor object, it pulls it in. So then it compares against the security descriptor at query time to see if you have rights to see that file. So, good question. Yeah, it's just the ACL. Yeah. It's just reading the ACL and storing it. No, just the same way it does, you know, this is how the built-in file, the folder file share connector works as well. It's basically how it works. So. Great questions. So I'll put these slide back up so you can capture it if you need need these examples for a second. Yeah. So you're asking about the protocol handler and how that's actually connected. And yeah, I did I didn't cover that. So let me show you what that looks real quick. Like, so in our search service application, I'll go back up to it. And I'll go to our content sources. I've created a new content source here. And if we just look at the properties of this thing, when you pick, since he has my file, but let me show you what it looks like in a new one, just so you know. You pick custom repository, it'll allow you to pick it. So that's how you pick it, and then you have to give it a start URL. So let me show you that start URL. Again, you have to kind of flip back as you do it in two different spots. So in this case, I registered my file, so that's what I register in the registry, and then I give it the path, and then I actually tell it if I want a folder, and then a file share is the path. Yes. You can, but this gives you more extensibility, right? So this is a lower level than the BCS is. So the BCS is here. Think of this as a lower level. So yes, you can definitely do that, and you can use a custom BCS class and do it that way. But this gives you more access onto how the URLs are coming in and out, and it gives you access. It's a little easier to implement the security stuff too, whereas the BCS will call out a method every time. Right. It depends on your use case and how much you need to customize the process. Yes, your question? When I download it, we didn't see anything? Oh, how it retrieves files. So this system.io code is where it actually retrieves it during indexing, right? So in this case, we were looking at the folder and how it grabs it, but let me show you the file as well. So the get specified file method is what gets it. Here's all the basic info. We're grabbing a file info object. And then there should be some place where we actually grab the byte stream. Yep, get file stream. We just return a file stream and it reads it in. Good questions. Anybody else have any other questions about this? Again, very powerful. I don't really recommend using it unless you have a very specific business case. But it's a good extensibility point if you really need to customize and get to a system that's not necessarily supported or nobody has built a connector for it yet. If you have a choice of building a connector or buying one, I would probably buy one. Right. It's a more user-friendly experience by just crawling it, right? So, of course, you've probably seen the DevTrack resources already. What I don't see on here is dev.office.com. You know, definitely be checking that out, and the Office 365 technical network. That's a great place now. I find it's more effective than using forums nowadays. So, even though this is SharePoint on-prem, it's still a good place to ask questions for regardless of whatever you're working on. I know it's Friday, but try to remember to submit your technical evaluations. We'd appreciate that. I know I typically forget at the end of the conference, so I'm sure you do too. So, but we definitely need that to help make things better for you next time you come to a conference. So. I'll be up here for any additional questions, or you can come up to the podium as needed. But you all have done a great job just shouting out your questions, so thank you.